All right, it's on.
What? It's on?
Welcome to our world.
Well, I'm Jess.
And I'm Adam.
That's it.
We're live.
Well.
I'm really just kidding.
It is real.
Just kidding. We told Brad we wouldn't do that.
Yeah, we told Brad we would not church it up and get real.
Shoe carnival-ish.
Shoe carnival-ish. No one will know what that is.
Some people will know what that is.
Did I already ask you this?
I was hoping for a little bit of like Will Ferrell playing Harry Carey for the introduction.
Adam is very good at that.
An amazing Will Ferrell doing
Harry Carey. Adam doing Will Ferrell doing Harry Carey.
I won't do it for you tonight, but.
Wow.
How about that?
That's not nice.
Turning a new leaf.
All right.
Well, that's my time. Thanks.
Right. Back to Shoe Carnival.
Yeah.
Has anyone at the table ever done the wheel?
Yeah.
Of course we were not allowed to.
You did the wheel?
Do the wheel.
I couldn't do the wheel.
No.
My mom was like, you're not doing the wheel.
No. It costs money.
Right. You did the wheel?
We did the wheel. There was a Shoe Carnival in Shrewsbury at the Mackenzie Point.
Yes, of course there was. Right by the Tippins.
Yes. Yes, right by Tippins. And that's where I got school shoes every year.
Thank you. Yeah. Same. We had to get a brown pair and a pair of tennis shoes. That's what we got. Like, August 2nd, my mom would pack my brother and I up in the car, and we'd go to Shoe Carnival, and it was the best damn day of my life. Remember when you used to see people in that plexiglass box of money blowing all over the place?
Yes.
Like,
what do you have to do to get that?
What kind of planet are we on in America where that is like what people do when they go buy shoes?
Jess, it was 30 years ago. It's not a state of today. It's a state of us as a people.
For sure.
What about, why was there always those vinyl basketballs in bins in the middle of the store? Like, well, how do you get one of those? Do you buy enough shoes? Is there a hoop somewhere? What do we do?
I don't know.
It was the weirdest.
But that was a cool place.
It was a cool place. They just had an identity crisis, I think. They didn't know who they wanted to be.
God.
They a game show? They a shoe store? They a carnival? Shoe carnival?
Is this a boardwalk?
Full circle.
I mean,
was a little Chuck E. Cheese atmosphere to
for
it.
For sure.
Yeah, there was.
Very Beach Boys, Buddy Holly, like music going on. You didn't remember like the music they blared on the Muzak the whole time?
I don't remember.
Oh, God. It was amazing.
All right, so
welcome to our world. Who's our guest today?
Tonight we have, well, Brad Stone from Stone Strength Systems and many other things. We'd like to ask you.
Sure, at that point.
Who the hell do you think you are?
Who are you?
Oh, existentialism right out of the gate. I love it. That appeals to the philosophy major in me. So, I am Brad Stone. I am from Stone Strength Systems. That's my gym over in Brentwood.
This is true.
If you like to pick up heavy things, come see me. We can do business.
Awesome.
So
we appreciate you being here.
When Jess and I were auditing our circles to find out, like, okay, who's running their world, right? That was the idea, the premise of the show. Like, who are people that we know that are, quote unquote, running their world in, whether it's a business, a personal, whatever. And so your name came into my mind. We went to high school together. And
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah.
CBC for life, baby.
That's right.
Oh, my God. Are we going to have somebody on the show that didn't go to CBC?
Dave.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Just met Brad.
Fair.
Brad was a year or 2 years younger than me.
Oh, 03.
So a year younger than me. And then we kind of remained somewhat buddies for a while. And then now I go to your gym. We've rekindled things, I guess you could say, over the course of the last year. And
we weren't like lovers or anything, just so with the rekindling, just so we're all clear.
You tell the people whatever you feel comfortable with, Brad.
That's good. Brad, why don't you describe for us what you do for work?
So it's a gym. In the gym world, there are like the large global gyms like your Planet Fitness.
Mm-hmm.
And Club Fitness and Golds and stuff like that. And they go all the way down to kind of what we are called a micro gym.
Okay.
And it's much smaller. We do group training, personal training. We run some specialty courses, and we do some fun stuff. Like we did a mud run
Cool.
So we'll put together like prep courses to make sure that you're ready for all the different obstacles and stuff like that. But it's a much smaller facility. And that is basically the gym in a nutshell. My little elevator speech that I've been trying to perfect.
Sure.
I like to say if CrossFit had a master's degree, it would be this.
Ah. So what's the difference not going to a gym and definitely not going to a CrossFit gym? What makes it that higher tier? What does that mean to you?
So one of the hallmarks of CrossFit is constantly varied. Every day seems to be something different. In my opinion, strength is a skill. So with our programming and how we structure things, like we perform the same movements over a period of time, usually about a calendar month, and we progress them up over the course of 2 or 3 months, and then we pick new movements and we build them up. Everything that goes with that, we call it like the accessory programming. So all of the other stuff that's not a squat, a deadlift, or a press is designed to help either fix imbalances like Adam's shoulders or further the major lifts. So it's all very scientifically designed. It is actually really, really intricate. Writing like a month of programming takes me several hours over several days because there's a lot of things that go into it versus, and there are some CrossFit gyms that do it right. I will give them credit. There are some people who are very good at what they do. But for the most part, a lot of owners that I've seen, it's, all right, we'll do some 3-rep back squats, and then we'll have AMRAPs, which is just as many repetitions as you can of this, this, and this, and we're just going to beat people into the ground.
Mm.
And they're going to walk out, and they'll be like, man, I got my ass kicked. Like, that was so great. But was it? Like, are you really getting better at stuff? Like, and that's one of the bad raps that CrossFit has, is it gets people hurt because it is.
I was going to say injury-wise.
You redline every single day. And there are places that are like that, and there are places, like I said, that are very good at what they do, and they monitor and they scale. With us, there's definitely more of a plan and a progression. Like, I have actually a CrossFit coach is my business coach. He runs, he's a mentor for this thing called Two Brains Business. And we were talking the other week, and he was like, of all of our gyms, he's like, there's you and there's one other guy that we have as clients. He's like, that I would let write programming for me.
Hmm.
He's a Marine, and he's a nationally ranked powerlifter at times.
Wow.
But he owns a CrossFit gym. He's very good at what he does in the weight room. And for him to say, like, I would let you write stuff for me was pretty high praise.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think for me, I mean, being a client of yours and not having been in a gym for the better part of 33 years before that.
How old are you?
I'll be 35 in a couple days.
Okay. Just background info. Right.
You know what I'm trying to say. I've never been to a gym. What I loved about coming into your gym, other than the fact that I was getting an opportunity to work with a buddy and support somebody that you know, I wasn't allowed to like walk in and just pick up heavy stuff. Like, that wasn't the deal, and I thought that's what you do when you go to a gym. You walk in and there's like the rope thing, and then like
tires
and sledgehammers. Like, I was like, this is gonna be great. You know, you see his gym and there's all that stuff, and you're like, I'm gonna walk in, I'm gonna do this thing. And he was like, whoa,
let's, you're gonna walk in and you're gonna throw
first
up, right?
And let me figure out who you are anatomically, what your limitations are, what program would be best for you. And I was like, dude, I'm here to get jacked, clearly. So where's the sledgehammers?
How's that working out for you?
It's not working out. Mediocre at best.
Mm.
But that's what I liked about your gym, was I was able to come in and like learn what I could even accomplish in a certain amount of time. A program is put together for you. I obviously have physical limitations. One, I'm super weak. Two, I have bad shoulders. So you guys work with me on like, hey, this is what would be best for you, or this progression would be a little bit easier. So I think from a business standpoint, it's obviously beneficial to keep people coming back. But yeah, so anyways, to your point, I think it's super cool that you guys work with each client about before they even allow them to pick something up, like, hey, what's best for you? And obviously I've been going there for about a year now, and I'm happy. And
I think you and Sarah just crossed the year threshold. I think it was.
Did we?
Like,
I think so. I knew we were close.
If you haven't crossed it, you're coming up on it. Like,
that's awesome.
What do we get? Do we get something?
Cake.
This year is the first anniversary, I think. Is that linen?
Paper.
Paper? It's paper. Oh, just paper.
Oh, just just a blank piece of paper.
A ream.
A whole ream?
That's not really in the budget. So, yeah, for two of you, yeah, you get the same address. It'll be fine.
Right.
Oh, Memphis just ate a bug.
Caught a June bug.
That's awesome.
Oh, my God. All right, so we know what you do. We know who you are. Who is in your world? Talk to us about who's in your world.
My world has changed drastically in the past year. My divorce is final as of the 12th, so I've got two kids. I've got a daughter, Everly. She's 4, and I've got a son, August. I have a Gus as well.
That is so cool that you have an August and you call him Gus.
Yeah.
Samesies.
Crazy. Yeah. That's awesome.
And he just turned 2 in June. So
nice.
They are the bulk of my world. And then, of course, the Adams of my world. All of my... harping back to like that business coach, like a lot of the people in that group, they're like, you know, they're your clients. Like, you can be friendly, but like, remember, like, they are not your friends. And that's a point where I strongly disagree.
Like, really?
These are people that I am invested in their health. And like, Adam and Sarah bring Harry and Gus regularly, right?
Yeah.
Especially throughout that's the great. Summer. We've got a kid's corner. Like, I want this to be home away from home for people. I want it to be a place that you're very, very comfortable. And it's been, the divorce was rough. It was really, really hard. And the gym was, that family that I created there was huge for me being able to survive that.
Yeah.
It's not just, yep, I make sure you don't get hurt and I make sure your payment runs. Like, we are, it's a family. Like, it really, truly is a family.
That's
so
awesome.
The kids are, it's a big gap between 1 and 2.
Yeah. Come on, man.
So if you were a woman, the immediate question would be, who takes care of your kids when you're running your business? So I find it fascinating to see what your answer is to that question of, like, you have 2 very young kids who are very close in age, recently single dad. Who helps you run that world?
So, I mean, they go to daycare. Actually, Coach Russ, one of my employees, his mom has had an in-home daycare for 20-something years.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just providence that when my ex-wife and I were together, we were looking for a place to send Gus, and Russ just happened to be within earshot. And he was kind of like, hey, by the way.
Nice.
And Miss Louisa, she's unreal. She is amazing. She is accommodating, and the kids love her. So they go there during the day. And then I just structure my day. I'm training when I don't have kids, and then when it's my time to have kids, Russ and I trade off. So
cool.
I am very close to my mom.
Mama Stone.
God, nice. Love her. So she has been a huge help throughout this process. And whenever something comes up with the kids, there's never a day where she sees my daughter that she doesn't have, like, a new skirt or something for her. Cause, bless her heart, she raised 2 boys and then had 2 grandsons before she finally got a granddaughter. So she was just boys, 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 and then now she finally has the girl so she can play with hair and do all the fun things.
Yeah.
Mama Stone is a girly girl, so.
Nice.
Mama Stone is a beast in the gym.
She gets after it.
Oh, she goes?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. I've worked out with her many times. She is a beast. She will outwork you in a heartbeat.
That's
and,
awesome.
And not feel bad about it and be like, come on, Bundren.
Yeah.
Like, geez, like,
get it together, boy.
Leave me alone. I'm tired or hungover or both.
Sure.
Most of the time, both. Tomorrow morning, 6 a.m., I will be both. Most likely.
Maybe.
If tonight goes well. We'll
right.
see.
It's going well.
Okay. Yeah. All right. I'm just asking. Just asking questions here.
Well, okay. So we know who's in your world and who helps you run it. What else is on that list?
So what, being a business owner, certainly one who's a single parent, you have to say no to a lot of stuff, right? You have to limit, what your intake is so that you can give the quality that, you know, your kids need? What types of things have you had to say no to, not just in building your business, but just in your world? You know, I mean, over the last year, obviously that question is probably going to warrant a different answer than it had previously. But like, there's got to be things that are just like, man, you know, I'm a 34-year-old guy and you got to say no to this, that, and the other. Like, what types of things as a person have you had to deal with?
Oh, man. The hardest part about being in a gym atmosphere, which I'm sure the two of you can relate to in the world of real estate, is you work when other people aren't. So from a scheduling standpoint, I'm free when everybody else is busy and they're running 9 to 5 or something's going on. So from a social life standpoint, like, I'm often at the gym or doing something gym related when people are like, hey, you want to come play softball, or it's so-and-so's birthday, we're going to grab beers at 5 o'clock. I'm like, I got clients till 7. Like, we'll probably be done about then. Like,
sure. Well,
tell them I said happy birthday.
Like, right.
You just miss things like that.
Yeah.
Especially starting out, I ran everything by myself for the better part of 3 years. So.
How long have you had your business?
We're in year 4.
Very cool.
So those first few years, I mean, it was split shifts, 5 full days a week, and then working sometimes both days on the weekend. So there were little things with the kid. You know, we had just Everly at the time. I was fortunate. My ex-wife, she was in sales, so she got to make her own schedule a lot, which was helpful. But, you know, seeing videos of them at the zoo when I'm running a 9 a.m. session on a Saturday, and I'm like, all right, there are places I'd rather be, but I can't show that outwardly.
For sure.
Like, so you gotta wear that face where you're like, I'm happy to be here. Like,
right.
I really do love working with you guys. And it is fun to see people change and to see people have the results that they have. But it takes a toll. Now that I am not married anymore, dating was hard at first. Like, getting back out there, this whole fucking world is crazy.
Yep.
Just so we're clear, it is very crazy getting back out there. But,
Jesus Christ!
Hi, Memphis. Memphis wanted to make sure he got on the
podcast. That is right. Going to be so loud.
I know. It's gonna be great. Sorry, Brad.
That Memphis. Was a good point. The world is crazy.
The world is
You're
crazy.
Dating.
I have a girlfriend now. Her name's Courtney. She's pretty fucking amazing. But getting to that point where I was like, all right, you're somebody that I choose to spend what free time I have with was, both chaotic and difficult. And there's a lot of fucking weird people out there.
Yeah.
And this is something that you and I talked about. We went and got sushi a couple of months ago. Mm-hmm. And talked about, I guess, the idea of sacrifice for future opportunity. And obviously, Jess, we've talked about this a ton of times. Sure. But
comes up every day.
Every day.
I mean, honestly.
Right. Well, yeah, it'll come up in personal lives every day or business decisions that you have to make. But understanding that you're trying to build something or get somewhere that allows you freedom to be the one taking the video at the zoo or to be the one that is, you know, driving to the field trip or
sure.
whatever it is. You know, obviously I've chosen to forego some of those opportunities for the potential of much, much larger opportunities for our family. It's tough, you know, and it's that pendulum that we've talked about a couple of times now. I mean, you sacrifice those things so that you can get to a certain place, but at the same time, you know, you don't really understand, am I doing the right thing? Am I not doing the right thing? And it's a mental game that you have all the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was hard married. It's even harder now that I'm not. I had this talk with Mama Stone not too long ago where it was, you know, we've got an opportunity here with the gym to have you be the parent that can coach her Everly softball team or Gus's baseball team.
Right.
And do those things because you've built it up to a point where you don't have to be there like you are.
Sure.
But now, while they're small, and she asked the question, she goes, name every memory you have from when you were 4.
Right.
Couldn't do it.
It's okay.
I have a bunch of impressions. Like, right. I kind of remember we had this at the house, but I also remember that from when I was 8. So am I just working right. backwards, or do I really remember that? Like, I don't really remember anything specific from when I was 4. So I can take this time now when they'll know I was there when I needed to be,
mm-hmm.
but the stuff that I have to sacrifice for when they will clearly remember, like, oh, Dad wasn't around, he chose work again, hopefully,
sure.
that's not a reality because I've put in the time and the sweat equity now to build it into something that I can be that dad that's, oh, we're going to the science center. Perfect. Sign me up. I'll be there.
Yeah.
Just tell me when it is. Like, I don't right. have to let me, I won't be let me check my schedule. It'll be, I'm doing it.
Well, and I think that in my perspective, any time that I take a Saturday or a Sunday or a 4th of July, something like that, and somebody calls me like, we want to write an offer, for one quick second, it's, oh, God, I just want to enjoy this with my family. I just want to enjoy this with my friends. And then immediately my mindset shifts to, I don't have to do this right now. I get to do this. And yeah. I could take 20 minutes before we watch fireworks and write an offer and have the opportunity to make money when some other poor schmuck is standing knee-deep in a dish pit like right. I was 2 years ago. So, like, adjust your ego.
For sure.
Help somebody out. Have the opportunity to make mm-hmm. some money. And that will provide for your kids or... enough years will go by and you'll be able to leverage that out. And yeah. But I think that that kind of work helps you in the future. You know, I've seen people in this business for the short time I've been in it, and definitely in the restaurant world, where it's like, you didn't earn the right to have an ego, or you didn't earn or the complain. Right to complain or
yeah.
mm-hmm. not, you know, enjoy this. So... the struggle helps you enjoy it, or at least feel better about making the decisions that you make.
For sure. But I think in entrepreneurship, I've felt, coming from a corporate world, I was in tech for 14, 13, 14, 15, however many years, the turnover time, the return of investment time of working hard is much shorter, I oh, think. Yeah. You know, I've been a full-time business owner / realtor for, this is my second year. I've been licensed for 3 years. My third year in corporate America, I was cleaning gum off, like, the floor. You know what I mean? Like, and did it for another 6 years after that. Like, there's just something to be said about people that are made out for entrepreneurship that say, no, I'm not going to, you know, quote-unquote, put in my time and be a number for 10 years before somebody notices me enough to give me a raise. That's insanity. I'm going to go out and make my own. Now, yes, you still have to put in your time. You still, you know, in order for someone to believe in my vision, to sign on to my company, I get it. I need to build that, and I need to build some type of reputation and trust with potential candidates. But I couldn't even imagine in 2 years of doing what I used to do. I mean, I didn't even know if the owner knew my name. Like, now you're like, oh, I'm making it happen, so I'm just going to go. Like, I was talking to David Brosso a couple of weeks ago, and he was like, you have a decision. You either can follow it or you can build it. Like, what do you want to do? Do you mm-hmm. want to follow it and just figure it out, or just go build it? And as somebody who's never had the option to build something, you're right. just like, I'm going to build it. Like, yeah. I'll figure it out. Like, I know I'm good enough to build it. And so I think for people like us, that's a super powerful mental shift to have coming from where, you know, you came in food service, which I mean is probably even worse than corporate America in terms of paying your dues or even getting looked
and getting
at.
Paid yeah
right.
both yep yeah I mean it took me 15 years to make the salary I was making when I quit my hospitality job, and I've already surpassed that my first full year in real estate.
Right.
Like, oh yep, this is worth it. This is worth it.
The juice is worth the squeeze.
For sure.
Brad, one question that we like to trip up people with on the podcast is, what trips you up? What keeps you up at night? What are things that you would say trip you up?
Oh, I am my own worst enemy. Every time I turn around, I seem to be shooting myself in the foot, whether it was from back in professional baseball to now as a business owner. Like, there's, I'm always the one getting in my way.
How so? With baseball, how so?
I was a drunk.
You were okay. A drunk? Is that what you said?
I was absolutely.
Drank yourself out of the game?
Yeah.
Okay.
I was definitely a drunk. I was immature, and I thought I was invincible and I could just do whatever and I would just always be better than everybody else. I got to the world of professional baseball and I was like, ooh, I'm not that good.
Real humbling real fast, huh?
It got real humbling real fast, but I didn't have enough mental wherewithal to change my habits. I just assumed it would work itself out, and it did for a long time. For about 5 or 6 years, it worked out and it was fine. And then I got hurt. I realized, oh, maybe I shouldn't be doing this to my body. And by then it was too late.
And you're with the Arizona Diamondbacks organization, right?
Florida Marlins.
Or Florida Marlins, I'm sorry. Florida Marlins.
I've got that picture of Brandon Webb up.
Yeah.
I helped him out with some stuff and worked a couple of his camps. And after he got done with Arizona before he went to Texas. But that really is more for the baseball side of the gym.
Sure.
Parents come in to bring their kid for pitching lessons, and then they see, thanks, Brad, from a Cy Young Award winner. That
not bad.
If you're thinking about coming to me for pitching lessons, I am actually very good at it. I'm not just clever at marketing.
Right.
But
if you help Brandon Webb, I'd say you're probably okay.
I'm doing something right.
Right. So immature, playing baseball, drinking yourself out of the league. You through mid-90s, right? So talent-wise, yeah, skill-wise, there. Mental, between the ears, not where it needed to be.
Not even remotely close.
How have you shifted that vulnerability as the business owner of a gym?
Well, vulnerability is an interesting question. So really nothing changed until the end of my marriage. I was not like a drunk dad, like, I'd have a beer with dinner from here and there. Nothing outrageous. But, I mean, we both went to CBC. I'm a Catholic, so like repression is like breathing for me. So just bury it down, bury it down, bury it down. So I figured out, ultimately, at the end of my marriage, when I was too worn out from trying to bury stuff anymore, I came to everything, like some shit from my childhood came to pass. Like,
sure.
It finally... I wasn't able to keep the lid on that box anymore, and everything kind of came out there, and I realized I was so wrapped up in being competitive for baseball and trying to make it there that I didn't have time to deal with that stuff that was trying to work itself out.
Yeah.
And so I self-medicated. And that only lasts for so long. Fortunately, I think society is taking a turn where mental health is much more of a priority.
Yeah, man.
And you know, the baseball world... particularly in the professional ranks, like, you're flat out, you're told, like, unless you cannot throw, you will throw. And I was a pitcher, so that's, you know, I certainly didn't hit well when I had the opportunity to. But it was, you know, don't say anything unless there's blood or a bone. Like, and even then, if you can wrap it up, like, and keep going, like, do it as long as you can on your own.
Sure.
So it just... it fostered that mentality even more. So I've come to grips with a lot of the stuff that I was trying to keep under wraps.
Yeah.
And I see why I behaved the way I did. But now that that has all come out and I've worked through the vast majority of it, and if you've never talked to a therapist, I highly recommend it. I've been able to kind of get out of my own way. With the gym, like, there are a lot of micro decisions. Courtney, I mentioned her earlier. She always jokes. She's like, Brad has 1,000 t-shirts, but he only wears 5. Like, it's a little bit of that Steve Jobs. Like, I have to make so many decisions over the course of a day. Like, if I just have this, these are the clothes I wear. Like,
sure.
That's less decisions for me to have to make.
Sure.
Even on a very minute level. So I've been able to get out of my own way a little bit that I don't stress over those things. Like, I've learned to get out of my way now and just, all right, there's a decision to be made, this one. Like, let's do it. If it doesn't work, okay, let's try the next thing.
Well, I think that's where vulnerability comes in, where you're, when you're a business owner, you have to be open enough to be willing to accept that you made a decision and it didn't work out. It's not going to crush you. You're going to move on quickly and be able to adapt. And I mean, everything that we learn at Keller Williams is, what's your one thing? Like, your one thing isn't selling supplements. Like, if you can make some money doing it and improve people's fitness from what they're working on with you, great. But it doesn't require your whole day to decide if it's like A or B, you
know? Precisely. Yeah. And getting over the ego and allowing, not being afraid to fail.
Right.
And a big, like, part of that being vulnerable is being, if this doesn't work, it doesn't work. Like, but I'm still going to try.
Sure.
Like, part of that, I'm going to weigh these decisions with, like, it's the fate of the world on the line, is being afraid to fail. Like, ooh, what if I make the wrong choice? Almost like FOMO.
Fail fast.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fail fast.
Fail forward. Yeah.
I'm going to decide on A. If it doesn't work, it's over and done with, and I'm on to B in the time I normally would have spent debating the merits of A and B.
Yeah.
Well, and what I hear a lot in, like, books or podcasts or whatever is, like, people aren't thinking that much about you. As much as you make a decision and you're like, oh God, what will people think if I fail? No one's thinking about you. And if they are, they're thinking about you for a split second. And so it makes it a little easier to realize that your failure, or whatever you're calling it, is not affecting anyone else. Great. Don't let it affect you too much and just move on.
Right. Josh told me, my brother Josh gave me some awesome advice. It was the first time that I had seen someone that I knew that was close enough to the inside of the circle that bought a house from somebody else. Like, it was the first time it happened.
Gut punch.
And I was, like, pissed. I'm like, how could they? they were like, all right, we're going to buy this house, but it's not going to be from Adam. It's going to be great.
Purpose.
Everybody's going to know about it. They're all going to talk about it. And I remember when it happened, and I called him, and I'm like, dude, this happened. And he's like, there's something you need to know right away before your head gets too big, is people don't think about you nearly as much as you think they do.
For sure.
And I was like, what do you mean? Doesn't everybody know
especially
that I...
not your family.
Right.
They'll buy from someone else before your friends or your strangers will. Yeah.
It was just so funny, and I was like, I never thought of it that way. I was like, I don't think about, you know, my friends that are doing this job or that job. That's not what I think about while I'm at work. Why would someone else think about what I do? You know, it's just, you don't think about it. When you're in a service-based industry, you're like, oh, everybody knows. They all know, and they all want to buy. It's
gonna
be great.
They'll just call me.
Right, they'll call me the second they want to do it. Nope.
No, they won't.
They won't. I bet it's the same thing for, like, how many friends do you have on Facebook or Instagram or whatever that are, like, posting the selfie at, like, got gym time in, hashtag dues paid at 24 Hour Fitness or any of the other big gyms? You're like, really?
Every day.
Right.
Every day I see somebody. Really, like, you're kind of like the test case. Is like, I talked to you a handful of times for probably a year in advance before you finally came in.
Well, that was a lot of procrastination on my part.
But but it's not a deviation from the norm.
Yeah.
On the marketing side of things, they say you got to touch people like 11 times before they're ready to make a decision. Like,
yeah.
It's not that dissimilar even with your friends and family. It's like, you have to stay, like, not be pushy and obnoxious, but like, hey, you finally have said something. Like, you had that one post, and I was like, hey.
I was getting ready to talk about it. How's that going for you? Like, how's the coming into the gym working? I'm like,
But you finally get them at a point where it's like, you know, I'm just not getting where I need to go. Anyone know a new good program that I can try? And it's like, time to slide into some DMs here.
Yes, yes.
Like, did you forget about me?
Right.
But, I mean, that happens. But that's so funny that she brought that up. Just last week, I was talking to somebody about this exact same topic. I had one of my favorite managers of all time. His name is Edwin Rodriguez. He was the first Puerto Rican to manage in the big leagues.
Okay.
But Jefe, he told me one time, he goes, You know, when I was 20, I was so concerned with what everybody else thought. It was the only thing that I thought about was, what does everybody think about me?
Sure.
Because then I turned 30, and I said, screw them. I don't care what they think about me. Because then I turned 40, and I realized nobody was paying attention to me anyway. And it's just, that has always stuck with me, especially in our business where you have to be your own best advocate.
Yeah.
Like, if you're not going to speak for yourself, certainly nobody else is going to.
For sure.
Really put yourself out there. Like, it's easy to see that where.
That's not pee.
It's wine.
From our Boda Box.
From our Boda Box. Hashtag Boda Box.
Which is really good.
Isn't it good?
Yeah. Listen, Brad.
If we do,
I don't think you realize.
30 seconds every time, can we eventually get them into a sponsor?
We're already working on it.
We're working Perfect. On it.
They've already liked our. Post. They love us. Listen, these huge corporations are really starting to buy into this podcast. Yeah. Can we talk about it for a quick second? Boda Box has picked us up.
We're blackmailing them into sponsorship.
They liked one of our posts.
It's a strategy.
So it's getting pretty serious. And a huge development.
Friday.
Last Friday, we had a big day. The podcast had a huge day. Lion's Choice started following us on Instagram.
Without us posting a thing about Lion's Choice.
We don't even like beef that much. It's
we
okay.
We do now.
Yeah. I eat it every day. Every day I've had Lion's Choice for the last 4 days. It's a lie.
They
but
liked
we did
us.
Have it once.
I got really excited at 6 in the morning and texted Adam. And he texted me back. And I posted a screenshot of our conversation on Instagram. And Lion's Choice was like, boom.
We love you.
We're into it.
We're into it. And we're going to respond to your post.
And we're going to bring you Lion's Choice every time you record, as well as give you guys your own logo.
Or like where
and
is it?
They forgot to come tonight.
Listen, our people reached out to their people. It's in negotiations, but it's going to happen. It's
absolutely.
It's going to happen.
Or we're going to call Arby's. So make a decision, LC.
Oh,
you
best
said all
town.
It takes is you making a decision.
I know. Make a decision.
A little D-bro. Hashtag D-bro.
Hashtag D-bro.
Social pressure. I love it.
Mm-hmm.
Do we get back on track here?
Okay, so I heard a good piece of advice that taps into what you guys just said. Dave Nations told me. Dave was on our podcast a couple episodes ago. It doesn't matter if it's someone in your family, a friend, or just like a lead from somewhere else. You call them and remind them about what you do, and you don't stop until they use your services or they tell you to stop calling. Like, that's it.
But those are the hardest people for me to reach out to.
Oh, I...
The hardest.
I absolutely empathize with that. That's what I'm having the most opportunity with. Is calling nice people I know and reminding them, like, hey, this is what I do. You can find subtle ways to do it.
Well,
you know?
I was going to say something to Brad earlier. He was talking about the way that he hooked me into this scam of a gym. Just kidding.
No,
I've been
you
there
guys
a year
look
and
great.
I love it.
You're...
It's an awesome gym. Like, full confidence.
You're trying not to say full disclosure, aren't you?
I was, because we have a full disclosure bell. Bing.
He hooked you.
Oh, so the way that we can communicate with people that we know, I think, is a benefit to people like us who are sociable people. We're kind of comfortable in dialogue with our own circle. So, like, you gave me like this thing like, hey, dude, remember that one time when you said you were going to come to my gym and then now you're complaining about being a fat slob? How's that going for you? And I was
subtle.
Like... Well, yeah. But I mean, from like a sales pitch standpoint, like that's not a good thing to say to a stranger, but like to be able to say it to people that you know because of the level of comfort and your personality is exactly
that.
How I think I do with
yeah,
people that I know.
For
like
sure.
You have
that's
the ability to
be.
Talk to them on a real human level and kind of make me feel bad about myself and go, oh, I forgot about that. I should get in shape.
Yeah.
But I was going to comment on that earlier. I think it's fascinating how you we call it mirroring and matching.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly the way that it needs to be, but we get the benefit of, as people who are personable, to kind of do that somewhat seamlessly.
Yeah, without being a total creep. Like, you put your hand on your chin. I'm going to put my hand on my chin now. Right. You know what I mean?
There's a level of...
There's a weirdness that people get to it when they hear that.
There are people that do it, and they're like, I wonder why it doesn't work. I'm doing exactly what they're saying. I'm like, right. You're creepy.
You can't go full Andy Bernard.
Right.
I'm going to be number two in this office in 6 weeks.
Right. The Nard Dog.
Name repetition. Mirroring. Firm handshakes, or whatever the third one is.
Yes. Oh, my gosh.
That's good to tell you.
I love that show. Okay, so you went from baseball to being a business owner, or what was your transition to where you are now?
So, as baseball was, I definitely didn't, like, burn out. I fade away. Like, it was a fairly slow decline after my injury. I tore a muscle in my back, and it was just kind of never the same. I hung on for another year, and it was, let's try and get some, you know, get a bullpen in front of some scouts, and it just didn't materialize, and I was like, all right, like, I know I'm not the same. Let's call it a day. So I kind of freelanced doing a little bit of training at what was the old St. Louis Sports Center. It's now called the Center St. Louis over on New Hampshire, over by the old Tower T, soon to be the new Tower T.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Afton, what's up?
So I was there, and I did some stuff there. I was never really official there. The people that owned that, they kind of pulled me aside one day, and they're like, if you're going to take money for doing stuff here, like, we need to get a cut of it. And
what?
Blew my mind. but we sat down, and we had a talk, and I asked for an exorbitant amount of money that they were probably wise not to give me at the time. But they went out of business like 2 months later anyway, so it's not like they could have given it to me.
Right.
Got them.
So
nice, Adam.
My trainer at the time, while I was playing, had his own gym. But he had time. I had people from pitching lessons that always wanted to know, like, what do you do in the weight room to throw hard? And I'm like, well, here's what I do. Like, it just kind of slowly materialized. I kind of tripped and stumbled into training. I thought I was going to coach baseball. Almost no money to be made in coaching baseball unless it's at the major league level or like the premier Division I university head coach. But like, you can do it, but it takes a long time to get there. So I kind of abandoned that and pivoted into training. I acquired a couple of certifications, and I got some time under my belt, and an opportunity arose. Really, I got fired a week after my daughter was born. So this guy, he was my trainer for years. He was my best friend. Like, we were roommates until my ex-wife and I bought our house. Let me go 8 days after she was born.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a lot of
real cool
stuff. Well, I was going to ask you what was a defining moment in your life, but I feel like you said it without us asking.
That was a pretty defining moment where it was like, well, now what?
Shit or get off the pot.
But Katie, my ex-wife, and I, we had often talked, like, I don't like the way he does this. I would do that. And she was like, why don't you open your place? Like, here's a chance. Take it. And so I did.
That's awesome.
And here we are
now.
That's
fast so forward.
Great. At the official Lion's Choice podcast.
Whoa. Right?
Just killing it.
That's amazing. What?
It's true.
Have
also.
You... what have you learned, like, owning your own business, or what kind of things? Because that, I mean, my assumption is that in the major leagues, like, you wear what they say you wear. You go where they say you go. You train when they say you train. Like, it's pretty regimented, and you just follow it. Now you're at the point in your life where you're making the rules, and you either are or you aren't making the money. Like, what kind of things did you learn doing it on your own?
So I never made it all the way to the big leagues. But even at the higher levels of the minor leagues, like AA and AAA, where I spent my last few years, like, I mean, yeah, there's a schedule and you got to be at certain places at certain time, but I mean, that's everything that you make money off of. Like, you have somewhat of a schedule to keep. But really transitioning from there, where it was, yeah, you have to be here at this time, but if you don't want to run or you don't want to work out, like, you're a grown man and you've reached this level, which less than 3% of all people who pick up a baseball have reached, you probably know what you're doing.
Sure.
Moving into, like, business ownership, which, oh, what haven't I learned? Oh, my God. Most of it is, like, did you know you're supposed to pay taxes quarterly as a business owner?
Right.
Didn't know that at first. So that first year tax bill, that hurt.
Nobody, like, reminds
even
you.
My accountant didn't tell me until we filed a return, and he's like, oh, yeah, we need to set you up for quarterly, you know, tax payments. And I'm like, this is what you fucking do. Like, it's like me forgetting to tell you, but, oh, yeah, you're supposed to squat. Like, you should probably train your legs. Like, it's like,
probably.
Isn't that a large part of your job? So some of those lessons have been very painful.
On the business side,
on
more.
On the business side.
I have a fantastic accountant also, just letting you know.
We'll trade numbers.
Okay.
Can you give it to my people and my people will give it to me?
I'll tell Lion's Choice to get it to you.
Perfect. If they could bring me a roast beef with that cheddar cheese, mm-hmm. like with his card, that'd be great.
She's a she, but
she
yeah.
is a she.
Yeah.
Was that sexist of me to assume?
No. I'm just clarifying.
These are questions I have to ask now.
She might be listening, and I don't want her to get pissed off and screw up my return. So. Let's be
honest. She does not sponsor the show.
There's no return.
Right.
Really, personally, it is largely just been accountability. And there's no office for me to walk into and be like, Dave, I'm thinking about making this decision. Like, when you had to do this, what did you do? Like, now that I have a business coach 4 years in, like, there are people for me to bounce ideas off of, and they've got, you know, the private Facebook group with all the other coaches, and you can run stuff in there and you'll get 100 opinions in a second.
Hmm.
But at the beginning, when it was just me in my brain, like, accountability, like, I could go to work, I could turn on Netflix until the next session rolled in and not do anything, and I'd have a great day. It really called me to task because, like I said, with baseball, like, I drank too much, I partied too much. I wasn't accountable for the career that I had chosen, and I didn't deserve some of the opportunities that I was given. It forced me to really take that next step and grow up, which was awesome for me personally as well as professionally, because it, you know, we're not out of business, so
right.
we're doing something right. But those lessons, they keep coming, and it's almost every day where I'm like, oh, this credit card is expired and I didn't change it out, and now the trash bill's 2 months behind because
sure.
you right. just don't think about it. Like, just taking accountability up a step has been probably the biggest thing that I've learned, and it's carried over to not just how I handle the business, but how I handle myself. And the personal life is where I've seen probably the most benefits of being a business owner. Is it's forced me to really make some changes that I had been avoiding for 20 some odd years.
Like that's it. Awesome. I do too.
I'm going to shift real quick. Top 3 movies. I think this is something that we need to do on every show. We did it last show.
This is a big pivot.
I know.
But I'm into it.
Awesome.
Top 3. Just off the cuff, don't think too much. You know what they are.
In order, or do
no.
you
no,
just...
No, 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 okay. Whatever.
Shawshank Redemption.
Mm.
Okay.
Which, whether we're in order or not, that's number one. That's one of those movies, it doesn't matter if, like, he's crawling through the tunnel of shit, or he's sitting outside the golf pro's house, like, I will stop what I'm doing and I'll watch that movie from that okay. point on.
Cool.
Brooks was here. Hashtag Brooks was here. Number 2, Jurassic Park.
All right. Oh. I love it.
I love that
Solid
movie.
Solid 2 so
There's
far.
There's a Jeff Goldblum fan in the
right.
house.
Watch out now.
Mrs.
Number
Bundren.
3, sleeper pick, Out Cold.
No idea what that is.
Hold on. Yes, I know Out Cold. Great movie.
but it's
God, hilarious.
It's so good. There's so many golden moments in that movie. If you haven't seen it, recommend it.
I have never even heard of it.
I recommend it.
Can we get Miramax to sponsor this too if we keep
Miramax?
Isn't it a Miramax film?
Sure. I mean, listen.
As soon as they make this podcast, are they bigger than Lion's
Choice? I think we've hit the pinnacle.
Miramax stock has jumped 36 points today due to a resurgence in iTunes purchases of Out Cold.
Unless our 38 listeners all purchase 1,000 copies of that movie.
Steve Elgin is purchasing it right now because he's all 38 of the listeners.
I know. I usually listen once or twice too.
Or
it's fine.
That's a great question.
That we add to the mix. That's a great top three. I mean, I like Out Cold. I think it's foolish to be in your top three personally.
Foolish.
Here we go. Hot takes coming out of Adam.
I like the movie. I like the movie.
That's a strong judgment. It's a good movie. Of what someone likes.
But it is. I could have named that Shawshank
to Out Cold.
Oh my goodness! I love it.
See, when you say just off the top of your head,
I love it.
Part of it is topical because after I put the kids to bed the other night, I was just kind of flipping through my iTunes library, and I was like, "God damn, I love this movie!" And I watched Out Cold as I was laying in bed with headphones on, so Gus didn't wake up, and it was just top of mind. And I'm like,
"Did you wake him up because you were laughing so hard?"
Oh no, I got the pillow. I smashed my face into it. But it was just. I had such a good time just watching that by myself.
It's a good movie.
With headphones in on a little tiny ass screen.
Right.
It was just very top of mind is probably why. Listen, since it was off the top of my head, it was on
the top
of my head.
It gives us a good window into your
brain. No judgment other than me judging.
Right.
No judgment except for this judging statement I'm going to make.
Except for that. Other than that, no judgment. But, I mean, like, Dave's was Dumb and Dumber. I love Dumb and Dumber, and you love Dumb and Dumber, but I would never put Dumb and Dumber in my top three.
What?
Ever.
It's certainly top three.
It's not top 33.
Okay. What?
From a cinematography standpoint? We don't need to have it.
Let's have it. What's your three?
I don't even know. I mean,
I don't even know.
Here we go.
No. I mean, to your point, about Shawshank, no matter where it comes on, you can watch it. For me, that's
you're
Hurt Locker.
You're piggybacking.
No, I'm doing Hurt Locker.
Okay.
I walk in, right? I
Feel
walk
good
in,
movie
on.
Of the year.
Toy Soldiers is a movie that I love with Sean Astin, Lou Gossett Jr. I mean, it is probably the greatest movie of all time.
No.
Which one's Toy Soldiers?
Big fan. You've probably never seen it. Neither has most of the
population.
Isn't
it like a doll with a buzz cut?
No,
nope,
that's
top?
Called Little Soldiers.
That's where like the
toys come to life.
Yeah,
the military bombing company puts the chip
the
into. Okay,
listen, this
right.
is
Toy Soldiers, where the kid hacks into it, right?
Different movie.
Okay,
totally different movie.
That's toys.
Oh God, that's with
no.
Robin
that's
Williams.
Where. Yeah, that's where he grows up in overnight because of the
5 cents.
That's big. Oh my word! What is happening with this podcast?
Somebody fill me up.
Good Lord.
That no one will listen to.
What were my first... Okay, I have two.
You said Hurt Locker and Toy Soldiers.
Correct.
And I asked which one was Toy Soldiers.
And my third movie...
You should have said Toy Story. Toy Soldiers.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's good stuff. Who cares what my third one is? I don't even know.
Your first two weren't good, so... I'm just kidding. They're yours and yours alone.
I can't do this anymore.
You're lying.
I'm done.
Shutting it down.
What's your first CD you ever got in your whole life?
Too Short, Get In Where You Fit In. Thanks, Josh.
What was your first CD?
That was Soundgarden's Black Hole Sun.
Ooh, good album.
And classy guy.
Jess?
Oh, Amy Grant.
Oh, Amy
Grant. Heart in Motion. Baby. What was your first concert?
Oh my God, we just talked about this. Jimmy's Chicken Shack at the America's Theater.
What did they sing?
They sang a song called High. I believe they sang a version of Cotton Eye Joe, maybe?
That's Tal Bachman.
Cotton Eye Joe. Okay, yeah. Got it. Like every mixer of all time.
Everybody knows Jimmy's Chicken Shack. if you now were born in the 80s. Brad, first concert?
Meatloaf at Old Riverport. I am very complex. There's a lot of things.
Yeah, there's a lot of layers here. Yeah. Actually, I think my first concert was Weird Al at Six Flags when I was a kid. I totally forgot about it.
Does that count?
How does it not count? He did like a surgeon as his encore. It was amazing. I remember it to this day.
Did he writhe on the stage?
I don't remember much about it. I was pretty young, but I do remember him in OR scrubs doing like a surgeon covered in blood. It was amazing.
Awesome.
Jess, first concert?
Ooh, Celine Dion. With my cousin.
You guys are some
she was a huge fan of Titanic. So when she came to St. Louis, my cousin was a huge fan of Titanic. So when Celine Dion came to St. Louis and like, My Heart Will Go On, blah, blah, blah. Like, she was like, we have to go see this. And I was like,
fine.
Okay, pay for my ticket. And the person that opened for her, I don't know his name, but he's the guy that sang, I wear my sunglasses.
That's Corey Hart.
Corey Hart? No, yeah. Corey Hart was the...
Listen,
actor.
Listeners.
Corey Hart was the actor.
Just stop. I'm going to need all of our listeners to Google who sang I Wear My Sunglasses at Night and then comment on something and tell Jess she's wrong because it's Corey Hart.
I thought Corey Hart was the actor. We put Sarah on the payroll as a fact checker. Always with.
I don't need anybody to fact check me.
Okay.
It's Corey Hart.
Calm it. I'm just saying that. No, that was Owen Hart.
Sarah is terrified, and she's like, isn't that...
I thought
that
was Hart Brett the Hitman was the Hart. Actor that the was Anvil with, Neinhardt. Like, the guy that played Donatello in Goonies. What
That's
was his
Corey
name?
Haim.
Corey Haim and Corey...
Feldman.
What?
What?
Corey Hart.
What about him?
Sunglasses at night.
Of
Damn
course
it.
I'm correct. Oh. Come on.
Sarah's disappointed because she thought that's what I said, and then she found out that's what you said, and
she's like,
never
mind, I'm changing the Wikipedia page right now.
Yeah, so he was the opener for Celine Dion. There's quite a spectrum there, but either way, I think it was Savas Center at the time. I don't know what it's called now.
It's probably Kiel.
Enterprise.
I call it Kiel. Yeah. I call it Savas. I don't know.
Whatever.
What is it, Enterprise?
Yeah.
I will tell you this. My favorite concert as a child was Aerosmith.
How could that not be your favorite concert?
I was the coolest kid at St. Michael the Archangel in Shrewsbury for 6 weeks. Why are you so tired? Oh, I was at a concert yesterday.
Boobs,
saw a bunch of boobs. Like, it was awesome. I was by far the coolest kid in Shrewsbury.
Holy
that
Lord.
Has to be the end.
Yeah.
That's totally the way we go out. Brad, Please. Thank you for your time.
Brad, thank you, sir.
Thank you guys for having me. This was fun.
We appreciate it.
I will see you at 6 a.m. tomorrow morning.
It's a date.
I'm not looking forward to it, but we all know how it goes.
That's it. Thanks, y'all, for listening.
Thanks, guys.
Oh, are you still there?
They're still here.
That's crazy. Well, if you can't get enough of us, follow us on Instagram and Facebook at Welcome to Our World.
And thanks for listening. And if you're listening on Spotify or iTunes, it'd be pretty cool if you gave us a rating.
And tell your friends.
All right.
Thanks.